Thanks for joining us on Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle. We're here every weekend with messages intended to draw you deeper into God's Word. As you do that each week, you'll draw closer to Christ and know Him more.
God's warnings are friends. We might not like God's warnings because they often go against our own plans, what we want to do, how we want to live, how we want to relate to our world and to people around us. God's warnings, they're given to us by the Lord to keep us from trouble, to avoid Satan's snares.
Here's Rich with the background for the lesson today.
Well, welcome to Knowing Christ. Today we have the joy of opening up our Bibles together to 2 Kings chapter 6, where we learn a story from Elisha's life of God's great power to protect us. The word I think about when I think of the last part of this story that we're studying today is the word protection. God tells us that in this world that we are faced with countless enemies, and the spiritual enemy, the devil and all of his minions, is foundational, that constantly he becomes like a prowling lion seeking to devour us, that he opposes us at every stage in our walk with Christ. And what encouragement to know that God's power is able to help us take our stand against him, and to stand firm and not fall in the face of his incredible power. This story reminds us of the protection of the Lord upon our soul, protection which we need, and protection which we can experience daily. So let's be encouraged as we open up our Bibles together to 2 Kings chapter 6. We are protected.
So what do you do when you lose something of eternal value? Well, you do what this young man does. You go to God's prophet with it. And friend, you and I have someone far greater than Elisha who's God's prophet. We have Jesus Christ, God's mediator, go to. And tell him then what we've lost and where we lost it, and that we need him to restore it. That's what we do. And that's how God does miracles, by going to Jesus Christ with our losses. And the gospel promises then to do a miracle, something that this young man never thought was even possible to happen. The Lord undoes the loss to bring about the joy of renewed discovery. Look at verse 6 of 2 Kings 6. Then the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place, and he cut off a stick, and he threw it in there, and he made the iron float. I love that. The Lord works miracles to bring back what we think has been irretrievably lost. Like, it's gone. We're not even looking for it anymore. We've lost hope that looking anymore or trying to do anything to recover it is futile. And the gospel restores completely that which sin has taken from us. Beloved, do not believe the devil's lie that what you've lost cannot be found. Do you need the gospel? Only if you've lost a treasure that you cannot retrieve on your own. The gospel causes the lost to be found. Now, ultimately, this lost axe head illustrates the desperate condition into which we are born. Our souls are valuable, but are irretrievably lost because of sin. And that's from the beginning. We have no access to bring our soul from death to life, from darkness to light, from separation from God to reconciliation with God. Such a retrieval demands a miracle, and yet a miracle is promised to every person who believes, who goes to Jesus Christ, God's prophet, God's son, God's king, and petitions him in faith. I met many, many people, had many, many great conversations along the way throughout our sabbatical. One of the people that made a big impact on me was a man I met. He's about 72, 3 years old now, and he was so full of zeal for the Lord. You know, just neck deep, how can I serve the Lord? And he's so deep in the service, and he had such joy about what God's doing in the church, about the gospel, and about reaching out to other people. And I talked to him, "Tell me your story, tell me your story." He says, "Well, you know, the Lord blessed me. I heard the gospel early, and kind of lived somewhat of in alignment with the morality of Christianity. Me and my wife, we got married, we had kids. God blessed my business." He ended up, you know, starting out as a simple carpenter, and then he ended up having to own his own business of creating all of the cabinetry and carpentry for luxury jets. Oprah Winfrey was one of his clients. So you can imagine, it's high-end stuff. And he says, "I sold my business back in 2016 or so. And he says, I was just set for life. In 2017, the Lord met me. He says, and he changed my life. He says, me and my wife both came to see that what we were doing, we were living for the world. You know, we just got so involved in the things of this world, the stuff of this world, and the Lord met me, and I just want every day for the rest of my life to be about him and his glory. And I thought, how could that happen? How could you take a guy who, when he's 68, and lived a life and set for life, he doesn't really have anything, any financial needs or anything, everything's set for him, and suddenly change him to realize, my life was lost, and now I've become bound and I'm filled with purpose and meaning. How does that happen? And I only have one answer, the gospel. The gospel brings God's power, and that is why Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to every person who believes. Every person. That's you. Second, the gospel brings God's warning to us. So the king of Israel has a powerful enemy who actively makes shrewd plans to kill him and to kill his people. And God keeps unveiling those malicious plans to Elisha so that Israel won't be caught off guard and destroyed by an ambush. And as we look at that story, we realize, you know, our enemy is so much stronger and smarter than we are. We have an enemy that constantly seeks to ambush us, constantly is setting snares to destroy our soul, destroy our lives, destroy our relationships with God and with one another, constantly. He's so crafty, but the Lord is infinitely more powerful, infinitely more wise, infinitely more knowledgeable than he is. Nothing done, said, or thought is secret to the Lord. His knowledge reaches every place and all times and all persons. Nothing is hidden from the Lord's sight. Nothing. Not the secret plans of a Syrian king, and not anything that goes on in our world, not in the spiritual realm of demons, not in the physical realm of this world. And what a comfort that truth is to those who are God's, who are the Lord's. And yet what a distress it is for those who stand against the Lord. The very same quality of God is omniscience. Comfort to Elisha and Israel, incredible distress and raging to the king of Syria. 2 Kings 6, verse 12, one of his servants says, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. You see, when we are the Lord's, we are not left helpless to Satan's schemes. The Lord knows, the Lord's in control, the Lord's sovereign. And what an advantage for us who are in the midst of a spiritual war to be warned of every device, every scheme that the devil lays before us. Everyone. And this is so important for us as we open up Scripture to understand the Lord's warnings are our friends. It's appropriate to take God's promises, and I look at God's promises because I think they're so strengthening, and put them on plaques and put them in our living room, our bedroom, in our offices. We have a God's promise pack, right? Have you ever seen those where, okay, I'm going to take one promise out and read it? That is such a great spiritual exercise. To this day, I've not ever seen God's warning pack. It's filled with warnings, and the Scripture's filled with warnings, and yet God's warnings are as much friends as God's promises are to us. You know, you read modern books that says, this is what Jesus says. You know, I'm channeling Jesus. There are all these nice things of not necessarily wrong, each one of them in themselves. But when I read some of that, just out of curiosity, they're not warnings. They're not rebukes. They're not corrections. As though God's warnings are like off-putting, like, oh, okay, I guess there's some warnings over here, but I guess we have to acknowledge them. No, they're our friends. What would have happened if Elisha comes to the king of Israel, who at that time, Joram is not a godly man, but he says, you know what, you tell me that there's an ambush at this place, but that's the place where I'm going on vacation. I planned a vacation with my family. I'm not going to listen to your warning because I want to go on vacation with my family. Wouldn't you say, well, that's foolish because you go on vacation with your family and all of you will be slaughtered. God's warnings are our friends. We might not like God's warnings because they often go against our own plans, what we want to do, how we want to live, how we want to relate to our world and to people around us. God's warnings, they're given to us by the Lord to keep us from trouble, to avoid Satan's snares. Deuteronomy 32, Moses says, "Take to heart all the words which I am warning you today." So Moses comes before the people, and he knows right at the end of his ministry in their life, he's going to pass it off to Joshua, and he says, "Take note." Now he knows the warnings are coming from the Lord to him, through him, to the people. And he calls them, "I'm warning you today that you may command these warnings to your children, that you may be careful to do all the words of this law. Take heed to every warning, for it is no empty word." These aren't just empty warnings, but they are your very life. You catch that? How many Christians forfeit their spiritual life because they blow right past the warnings that God has so clearly laid for us about the snares and the schemes of the devil? "And by this word you shall live long in the land." Hebrews picks up on this, and Hebrews says this, "See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking of Jesus. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth," he's talking about Moses, "much less shall we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven." Do you need the gospel? Only if you have an enemy who schemes to ambush and ruin your life. That's the only reason why you need the gospel. It's not the only reason. It's one of the reasons you need the gospel. The gospel prepares us for spiritual battles by warning us of the devil's specific plans to destroy our souls. Third, the gospel brings God's protection. Elisha's servants looks out to see a powerful army surrounding the city, intent on getting Elisha. The servant shakes in terror, yet Elisha's not afraid. Why is Elisha so calm as the city's surrounded? Because he sees the strength of the Lord. Look at verse 16 of 2 Kings 6. He said to them, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." I love that verse. If you believe the gospel, this is always the case. I don't know what the enemy is threatening to take from you, but I know that he is threatening your joy in some way. That's what he always does. And I want you to know that those who are with you, the Holy Spirit, God, the angels, are more powerful and more numerous than those who are against you. Perhaps the demons are threatening your physical life through some health trial. Perhaps they're threatening your children. Perhaps they're threatening your ability to provide for your family and your work. Perhaps they are threatening to destroy a fellowship. Perhaps they're threatening to rob you of your life's purpose. Friend, I would say to you again, as Elisha said to the servant, do not be afraid. If you're in Jesus, those who are with you are more than those who are with them. David knows this. He writes in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Paul knows this. "What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" John knows this. "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Can I get an amen right at this point? Do you know it? Do you know this is true? That those who are with you are more powerful than those who are against you? Do you need the gospel? Only if you have a powerful enemy that prowls around with the intent to destroy you. The gospel makes us more than conquerors through him who loves us. And finally, the gospel brings God's peace. The gospel brings God's peace. So the blinded enemy is marched right into Israel's stronghold, right into Samaria, the capital city. The king looks and says, "Surely it is the will of the Lord to slay them all." And the answer is no. How dare you do that? The Lord brought them to you. It is the Lord who decides, and the Lord is merciful and he's kind. The Lord has a better plan. What is that better plan? 2 Kings 6:22, "Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and then go back home to their master, go back home to their wives and their children." Here's the truth. We were once the Lord's enemies, deserving of death, but instead of destroying us, the Lord reconciled us to himself. You see, in one part of this, as we look at this story, it's right for us to place ourselves as the Syrian army, as the Gentiles, or outside of God. And the Lord looks upon us who had declared hostility against the Lord by our attitudes and by our actions, by our willfulness. And the Lord then reconciles us to himself through his kindness. And he does so to us, not through the kindness of a meal and water. He reconciles us through the kindness of the cross of Jesus. Because while we were enemies, the scripture says, Christ died for us. He died to provide a feast for our souls. He died to provide life. He died so that we could have peace with God. In Romans chapter 5, God says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we've been made right before the Lord by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's amazing what the gospel does. It brings peace. So we have a real relationship with a real God. We can enjoy God, we can know God, and we can experience his love now and forever and ever. And what this reconciliation with God does is it changes our hearts then toward those who seek to hurt us, toward our enemies. Through the gospel, we now, because we've been treated with mercy by the Lord, can treat our enemies with mercy and forgiveness and kindness. We don't need to respond the way our flesh naturally would respond, with hatred and bitterness. The fight is on. Jesus says this in Luke 6, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Have you ever tried to do that? You know, I've often throughout my life tried to do that in my flesh, and I said, why can't I do this? You know, I can fake it. I can smile. But how can I really love my enemy? I mean, really look at him and feel a love and a burden and a concern and a care and a peace. How can that happen? I'll tell you, there's only one way, and it is the gospel. When I grab hold of the gospel, not when I say, you got to try and do more, Rich. You know, slap, 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 slap myself a little bit. Stop doing that. That's part of awakening to my own sinfulness. But what I need is the gospel. I need God to do something I can't do for myself. And I know if there's an enemy, someone who's hurt me, someone who's wronged me, who there's still this stir, there's still this in my soul, I know the gospel has not yet had its complete work. And I need the gospel. It's humbling. It's humbling for the king. You know, he didn't want to do that. I don't know if he ever wanted to do that, but he submitted to Elisha. The gospel changed our hearts so we can treat our enemies as friends. So I ask you again, do you need the gospel? Only if you're tired of hostility and strife and conflict ruling over your heart. The gospel places love in our hearts, even for those who hurt us. You know, the way of the world is vengeance and fighting and hostility and condemnation and accusation and strife. Oh, so much hatred in this world. And yet, with sadness and prayer, I recognize that it's not just out there in the world, it's also in Jesus' church. It's not just in Jesus' church, but sometimes inside me. And I need the gospel. We need the gospel. Romans 12 says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In other words, do something exactly like Elisha told Joram to do. He says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Only the gospel brings peace to keep our hearts from hating our enemies. Only the gospel brings peace to liberate our hearts to love them. You know, we know that we are under the influence of Satan when we treat friends as though they're enemies. We know that we're under the influence of the natural world when we treat our friends as friends and our enemies as enemies. It's just natural. It's what the world does. And we know that we're under the influence of God's Spirit when we treat our enemies as friends. You know, Satan, he so often used fear first and then fury next to lead us away from worshiping the Lord and experiencing his grace. First fear, oh, we're afraid of the Syrians. Oh, we're mad at the Syrians. We got them. And how those two things, fear and fury, to darken our souls. The true and living God is the one who holds this world in his hand. We can trust him. Do you need the gospel? And the answer, I believe, for every one of us is yes. If you have not ever given your life to Jesus, you need the gospel. You need the gospel to begin a new life. You need the gospel to be forgiven, to be justified, to be adopted into God's family. You need the gospel to secure a home for you in heaven. And the gospel is proclaimed to you, the good news. God proclaims the good news to you. If you've never trusted in Jesus, the good news is announced to you. Repent of your sin and believe in Jesus Christ. And God will bring grace and life into your soul. He'll save you. The gospel is for the unsaved, but the gospel is also for the saved. It's God's power that brings salvation into our daily lives. We need God's gospel to continue that work of construction. The gospel brings the power of God so that we continue to experience miracles of recovering that which we lose. The gospel makes us safe in the face of enemies. The enemies that have secret plans destroy us, and we have an enemy that makes secret plans. The gospel secures us both in the present and the future, regardless of what stands against us. And the gospel frees us to love God and even to love our enemies. So we've been talking a lot about the gospel, and we ask here now at the end, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? The gospel is good news. It's good news that God, in love, offers to adopt us into his family and to treat us like his children. That God sent his son, Jesus, to die upon a cross in our place and by the cross remove the cause of our offense against God so that we can have peace with God. And then Jesus rose the third day so that we can have a new life. So we don't have to live the way we lived before meeting Jesus, but we can walk in newness of life, that we can live with a new purpose, a new righteousness, a new love, a new grace. And that is all good news. So how do I benefit from the gospel? Well, we cry out to the Lord in faith. If you've never done that, today would be the first day. Cry out to the Lord in faith. I believe I need the gospel. I need these blessings, this impact of the gospel on my life. And I know Jesus is the means through which salvation, the gospel comes. I believe in him. Embrace him as Lord, as Savior. Turn from sin and open your heart to him. But friends, we as Christians also need to benefit from the gospel. We do so the same way. We continue to cry out to the Lord, Lord, I need Jesus. And I need to open up my heart to all the avenues of grace now that you bring to me through your word and through prayer and through your church and through worship and through fellowship and service and all these ways that you bring grace of the gospel unto me. I need to soak in the gospel day after day after day. Do you need the gospel? The gospel's for you. And the Lord is announcing it to you today.
Rich will have some closing thoughts about today's message in a moment. Would you tell others about Knowing Christ Radio? We love to have new listeners join us as we try to know Christ more and more each week. Here's Rich.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We pray that this radio ministry is a spiritual blessing to you. I want to first ask you, do you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? Do you know that when you die, that you will stand before God and you'll be welcomed by God with open arms because you have been dressed in the righteousness of Christ, because you've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus? Well, this is the foundational blessing that God offers to us in Jesus. And if you've never received this free gift from the Lord, right now where you are, you can just simply call out to the Lord and say, Lord, I know I need your deliverance. I need your power to save me. I need your provision and grace to forgive me. Lord, I want to be adopted into your family, and I trust in Jesus Christ, your Son, to be my Savior and Lord, so that I too would have eternal life. If you call out to God in that way, please connect with us. We'd love to help you grow in your life with God. May God bless you today.
Were you blessed by today's message? Why not download a free copy and give it to a friend? Invite them to join us each week on this station. You can download a copy at knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org. And while you're there, select the Contact tab and send us a note on how God is using this program or share a prayer request with us. It's such an encouragement when we hear from our listeners. Thanks for listening today. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church. For the sake